Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington. Going to call up in and sing a song that Chris Chilaine made famous way back when.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord paid a price for you and I that we could not have paid, nor would we have paid it. Because with Him paying the price for you and I, it's so awful hard for us to even take the time to spend with Him in His Word and at church. This is the way mankind has gotten. We use every excuse in the book, and then we've made up a few to do what we want to do, claiming that it needs to be done before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not so. And the sad part of that is, one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's not going to accept any excuse of putting things here on this earth in front of Him. It's not going to work. Now, this morning we was in Mark chapter 13. We got about halfway through, a little over half. We got through the first 23 verses. But we're going to picking up here now with verse 24. And during this service, And our service in the morning, I want all of you to really be with us that can be, because I want you to get a greater understanding of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I come asking for the Holy Spirit to come forward now to take this service, Father, and to bring us, each one of us, what we need from this your word, giving us greater understanding, giving us knowledge and wisdom, and open our hearts and our minds to be receptive so that we can reach out to this lost and dying world, to those that are walking in darkness, and be of help in bringing them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, for repentance, for putting their trust, their faith in him, and becoming a born-again child of the living God. And I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in Mark chapter 13, beginning here with verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, I want you to notice here how he's starting out, how he's talking here in 24 and 25. We'll be going on in to verse 26. And he's telling us, in those days after the tribulation, we know that the most horrible time man will ever know is those 7 years of tribulation. He's telling us now about what's going to take place after 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. He's telling us here of things that is coming, and things that's going to be happening, and he's giving us warnings. We will have no excuse whatsoever of not being ready. All that know and have this knowledge. Now, 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You see why it is so important for you and I to be in the Word of God? Learning all we can learn. And most especially, if you want to make heaven your home. Now, if it don't make no difference to you, and you want to risk your soul to that lake of fire, to play church, and believe that you can just do it part-time, that you're right. But I am here to tell you, and the Word is here to tell you, that that's not a part-time work or a job. That is full-time. Walking with the Lord our God is full-time. We don't need to be playing. Now, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. You see, of actually knowing what day, what week, what month, or what year this is going to take place, no one knows. So don't let them tell you. And mankind has been trying to do that for quite a while. They'll put up, these groups that'll come along proclaiming, well, this is all going to come to an end on such and such a date. We've already had that done 3 or 4 times. And the Word says no man knows, not even the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Now, he told 7:33, he said, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And the one just before that's where he told us, neither the Son, the only one that knows is the Father. Now 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And he did that. He came in the flesh to the earth. He walked upon this earth. He taught. He became our sacrifices. He took all of our sins, all of our sicknesses to the cross and died there. And 3 days later, was resurrected, walked back upon the earth again 40 days with the disciples, getting them ready for and teaching them what they needed was coming. He even told them where to go to wait. He sent them into the upper room. They spent 10 days there. Now, is when things really made the change and we moved in from the law to the church age. That's when we were really given grace, righteousness, And that's when our Savior became our source. And the way we receive knowledge, wisdom, the power of God, and strong faith is through the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that was sent down on that day to be with all mankind. And everyone that becomes that born-again child of God, man or woman, is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that, in letting us know that, the Word is telling you and I that we have a lot of them out here today that are deceivers, trying to lead you to believe that they are ministers of Almighty God, and they're teaching contrary and denying most of the New Testament. But the most dangerous thing is in denying the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And you'd be surprised how many we have out there doing that very thing. And we have so many out there today that are well thought of, well attended, that will have no excuse for the law of God that they are breaking, because it's all in the book and very, very plain in its speaking. Now, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. We have no idea. These coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. You're not ready. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. In other words, he's telling you, be ready. Now, we finished with 13. We're going into 14 now. Verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. You see, they're afraid of people, but they're sure not afraid to go against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all because of unbelief and no faith. 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head, poured all this ointment on the Lord's head. and it was very precious. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? They considered it as being a waste. Five, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. But you see, she was anointing Jesus. The Lord had let her know what was coming to him. And now she's anointing him. Verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whithersoever you will, ye may do them good. But me, you have not always. Letting them know, you're not going to have me always. Not here with you, not here on this earth. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She's anointed him for his burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She'd done a great thing. She had done something they hadn't done. And these were followers of his. A lot of them were. But they hadn't done it. Because you see, their faith really wasn't where it needed to be. Verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he saw how he might conveniently betray him. You see, this wasn't just an instantaneous thing. He was planning on betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? They're thinking just about the Passover. Not about what he told them. It's just about the Passover. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. This man's going to be carrying a pitcher of water. Now follow it. 14. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber? For I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. Tell them exactly where to go, even how to get there, by following a man with a pitcher of water. You think God don't know every move you make? There's nothing hid from it. So mankind needs to quit trying to hide and come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all sincerity from his heart and repent and become that born-again child of the living God. 16. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily, do you remember what I've told you about this word verily? It means pay attention. And even more so when it's verily, verily. But just verily means pay attention. Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. You see, he knows, and he even knows who it is. And you know, that's bound to be causing an ache in his heart. Because even us here on earth, even those that are walking in darkness, when one that is close to you turns against you, it hurts inside. Now, 19. And they begin to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Dipping right with him in the dish. 21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. That's not good at all, is it? Now, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You know, I've had several ask me about using wine in communion. That's what he was using. But there is also a reason for that. Now, today, most all your churches and most every place use grape juice. But he used wine because that is the most pure drink you can get. It purifies itself every 21 days. Think about it. But now that is the real wine, not the store-bought stuff. You see, they've added other stuff to this store-bought stuff. It's not pure. But when you take sugar and you take the berries and you put it in barrels or kegs or whatever, and you let it ferment and make itself, that is what is to be used. Because you see, that wine will continually keep purifying itself. And that's why it was used by Jesus. Now, he told us there he's not going to drink anymore until he drank it new in the kingdom of God. 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. He's telling them, you're all going to be offended for me because of me this night. Now, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He's telling them even where he's going to go after he's risen. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Peter's always got these high notions, hasn't he? But listen to what Jesus says him. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows thrice, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. In one night. But, here Peter again. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also, saith they all. They all claim the same thing. But what happens? When he's taken. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. The Spirit of God now is being heavy on him. Because you see, as far as him wanting to go and die, no. You see, why? Because he gave himself. Why do you say he didn't want to die? But just listen to him. Now, here in 34, and saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He's asking the Father, if it if it's possible, can this hour pass from me? And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see, he asked if it could be taken away. But he was set to do the will of his Father. Are you set to do the will of the Father? Because you're not going to make heaven your home. Just that simple. Now, verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray lest enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And you see, the only place this flesh can get strength is by and through the Spirit. Now, 39. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. That's twice he's the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither was they what to answer. They didn't know what to talk to him about. 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them. You see, he has prayed 3 times now. That same prayer. And this third time he came to them. And he tells them, he says, sleep on now. And take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Raise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. They're here. 43. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. You see, it was all of the leadership of that religious time. Of the law that was wanting so bad for him to be put to death. Now, 44, and he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. 45, gonna betray him with a kiss. And as soon as he was come, he goes straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. Betrayed his Savior with a kiss. And they laid their hands on him and took him. 47, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you just took me not. But the scripture must be fulfilled, And they all forsook him and fled. All of these was not going to be offended by him. Now they have fled. There followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him far off even to the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, Peter's warming himself and all here by the fire at the chief priest's place. In 55, the chief priest and all the council sought for a witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. You see, they couldn't find anything to actually put him to death, but they continually kept trying and trying and trying and trying and trying to work out other ways to get that done, because that's what they wanted to do. Now, 56, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. They couldn't even agree together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And you see, they were lying, because that is not what he said. Because when he was telling them that, he was telling them about his temple, his body. 59. But neither so did their witness agree together. And they wouldn't agree together either. 60. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace, because he knows what he is supposed to do, and he's giving no defense at all. He held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent their clothes and said, what need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out onto the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech betrayeth thee. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He done exactly what the Lord God told him was going to happen. Time we wake up. It's time the church wake up. And not only just get right, but get to work. Reaching out with the love of Almighty God in us, to others, to help them with strength, and to help lead those that are walking in darkness out of that darkness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the light of the world. And you are supposed to be light for them to see. Think about it. You're not supposed to hide your light. Say nothing. Never say nothing to no one. Never try to teach no one. Never try to share the Lord Jesus with anyone. No, you see, that's hiding the light. That's not to be done. We'll be reading that again as we go further in Scripture. I'm asking you now, are you really ready? Then pray this prayer with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I know that I am a sinner, but Father, I also know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Son. I know he has died for my sins, my sicknesses. And Father, I know that on my own I am nothing. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And come and live within me. Take me, Lord, and lead me into the promised land of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you really prayed that prayer and meant it, then Jesus has forgiven you your sins. And all that is listening with me this night, try to be with me come morning when we will be back in to the Word of God. Be with me and fellowship with me. Let us share our time together with the Lord Jesus. Grow in strength and grow in faith so that we can do what he wants of us to do. Let's give him praise through the day and through the night. Lift up holy hands and just tell him, Lord, I praise you. I praise you, praise you. And I thank you for all you've done for mankind and all you've done for me. take me as I am and use me, making me in to be what you want me to be and doing the things you want me to do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great night. Talk to God before you close your eyes tonight. And give him time to talk to you so that your life will change. And God willing, we can all be together again in the morning at 10 o'clock and back into his word. Have a great night now.